Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And so the best part of Thanksgiving is that we will now have three games going on Thursday, so everybody can forget about what happened to the Bears a couple of days ago. Although I'm still coming to grips with it. I'm still trying to rationalize things. And we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to look forward. There's a Monday night game against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm tearing up. So, Sammy, let's just start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means? It is time for Take It to the Rank. So many of you are on your way out probably right now to go meet up with some old friends at your local stomping grounds. Everybody going back home this week. I know a lot of my friends going back to Corona, California. My friends who are in Chicago going back to Chicago. Everybody is traveling. And so I'm going to be solo tonight, it stands to reason. There's so many things going on. It's a hectic week. I want to thank everybody for being here. I know it's a depressing time. A lot to go over, and I do want to talk about a lot of things that happened on Sunday. I addressed a couple of it in our shorts and everything like that. Short videos, not in my shorts. So I addressed a couple of those things, and so I wanted to go over that, reiterate a couple of things. We'll look a little forward, but I think there's some things that we definitely need to go over. Number one, I will say this. The Tyler Scott Show will happen today, or not today, but this week. And he's not a, like, for people who are like, he shouldn't be, like, first of all, don't ever, like, these people, these players are human beings working a job just like you and me. And I can't even imagine, like, if you're working at Starbucks and you get somebody's order wrong, are you not allowed to do anything for a week? You can't talk till he gets his lattes orders right. He can't be talking it, like, stop it. I was looking forward to it. And Tyler was looking forward to coming on too. By the way, Tyler addressed the media. He talked to people. He has had to face the music, so to speak. Our friend Bayless Jones Jr., we were in Los Angeles. I was there in the locker room when he had to talk to reporters. These guys do not shy away from talking about what's going on in the field. And I will tell you this, that, you know what? I wanted Tyler to catch that football. I think he wants to catch that football. But at the same time, mistakes are made and things happen on a football field. Look what happened to MVS on Monday night. Look at Patrick Mahomes throwing an interception in the end zone. Travis Kelce drops a football inside the 10-yard line. NFL players make mistakes. And it is not fair to sit here with, that guy better not be with Taylor Swift. Like, stop it. They're still human beings who are fallible, and sometimes you make a mistake. And I think that Tyler will admit to anybody he wishes he felt like he should have caught that football, and that's fine. And we would have talked about it, and we were going to talk about it at some point in the near future, and we will address it. We'll talk about it. Tyler did some nice things in that game too. So, again, there's plenty of stuff to go over. It's a rookie learning how to play on the NFL level. So back off. Everybody back off. I think that's a big thing. There's a lot of blame and there's a lot of mistakes and a lot of things going around, and it's easy to go back. And again, I don't want to spend too much time looking back, but I think it's important. This is my first opportunity to really have an expanded forum to kind of talk through what happened on Sunday, because we were sitting there. By the way, thanks again to everybody who came out to Rip Beer Company. The fact that we still draw people, Chicago fans are the best. Thanksgiving, a getaway weekend before Thanksgiving, we still had a pretty nice crowd. Of course, the Bears will be on the road Monday night in Minnesota, so we probably won't have a turnout for Rip Beer Company this weekend, but then we'll be back the following week. Here's my, actually, no, because I got my, the Red Lightning, my daughter's 10U soccer team is in the section, regionals, I don't know, we're moving on. We keep winning tournaments, and we keep moving on, so we'll be doing that. But by the way, if you are looking for a place to watch games this weekend, might I recommend Game Room Chicago, which is located in the historic Chicago Athletic Association Hotel. It features billiards, shuffleboard, skee ball, pop a shot, and so much more. And with plenty of space there to watch your favorite football games. You can go watch the Big Ten on Saturday. You can watch all the NFL action on Sunday. Keep track of your fantasy teams. And it's got a menu featuring Michelin-starred chef Mari Katsumura snack foods. There are also beer towers, a weekend Bloody Mary bar, and shareable signature cocktails. Game Room Chicago is the place to be on game day. So listen, we got nothing to do on Sunday. Go to Game Room Chicago. Go check it out. Listen, it's a classy place. Go check it out. It'll be nice to go enjoy football in a classy establishment, a great hotel. So you want to go check that out. But going back to Sunday, and I wrote down some thoughts. I'm honestly choking on chips and salsa. I have the hottest salsa. This is not Arizona salsa. This is California, Southern California salsa. So if I'm choking a little bit, I'm trying to work through it right now. This is where I needed Carmen, who's traveling right now. She's heading out to Detroit for the game tomorrow. So likely not going to be here, and that's fine. We'll spend some time together. When I look back at that game, and again, I don't want to go, I don't know. I know I'm a positive person. I will start with Justin Fields. And I think this is fair to say that now that we've seen Justin Fields in his last three full games, and I guess let's just get into this. In his last three full games, Justin Fields has played excellent. Like, he's played excellent football. He had 8 touchdown passes combined in the games against Denver and Washington. He played a great game against the Detroit Lions. It's funny to me, like, people who, if you're a hater of Justin Fields, you're not going to give him credit anyways. But to pretend that he wasn't playing excellent on Sunday is a complete mischaracterization of what was happening out there. He was on fire. He looked so good. And so I was very impressed with what he did. What I was not impressed with was the coaching. And after Justin Fields went out there and made that huge run, and I know a lot of people, there's still a lot of old people who root for the Chicago Bears who don't understand, like, hey, these players have emotion. So Justin Fields celebrated a little bit after a great run. Like, it's what happens. It's what these NFL players do. The play calling after that was atrocious. I think we can all agree on that. That was not the play calling that we would want. Justin Fields just created a huge play, and then you're like, ah, just dive. Let's just run a couple of dives. Or just run the ball into the play. No, be a little bit more creative. You have the Lions on their heels. That team was ready to go home. That crowd looked morose. After that field goal attempt, that crowd was ready to go to sleep. Like, they showed the crowd. And I was sitting there watching this, and I know that the Lions fans have spent way too many decades being a downtrodden franchise that they're not going to go out there and try to be excited about what was going on.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
But I'm like, you guys aren't that far out of it. Like, it's like, there's no reason to be that glum. Chin's up. You know what I'm saying? Like, whenever my girls give up a goal, I'm always like, chin up. Like, it's fine. We'll get through this. You're 12 points away. And going from, I don't know, going from, and that was the thing too, like, talking about play calling, settling for that field goal. You're up 9 already. It's already 9 points. What is the difference? 9 and 12 is the same, as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's basically the same. You want to make it 2 touchdowns? Maybe. Like, maybe back in the 50s, when it was difficult to score. Like, why not go for it at that point? That just drives me crazy. But we're talking about Justin Fields now. So Justin Fields has played pretty well. And it's to the point now, like, as much as the NFL, as much as the Bears coaching staff was like, well, Justin's got 7 games to prove that he's the quarterback. Okay, you know what? Actually, Bears coaching staff, you have 6 games to prove that you should be around. Like, that's the most incredible thing to me, is that this team over the last 2 years has won 6 games. They have not won back-to-back games. There is nothing that this coaching staff has shown me to say that they deserve another opportunity. There really isn't. Outside of winning 6 consecutive games to close out the season. And I'm going to say 6 because I'm fearful they're going to end up winning like 4 games. They're going to end up winning 4 games in a row. And then like the people are going to be like, well, they won 4 games in a row. And I know that Carmen will be on, and a lot of people point out like, hey, the Bears don't necessarily make, listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers fired their offensive coordinator during the season, which they haven't done since World War II, and I don't even think they were the Pittsburgh Steelers at that point. I think they were combined with the Eagles to form the Steagles, or they were Card Pitt. They were during the World War II era, the Steelers were combined with the Eagles for 1 year and with the Chicago Cardinals 1 year. And so they weren't even the Steelers when they did that, to my recollection. Like, I know, like I'm pulling it out of my rear. I'm guesstimating. So the Steelers did something that they don't normally do. So to go back over the history of the Chicago Bears, like, well, they've never done that. Like, yeah, of course. They had never hired a retread coach until they did it with John Fox. And by the way, for that to be the guy that they hired as the retread. Like, it wasn't like they hired Andy Reid. You know what I'm saying? Hey, the Bears had never hired a retread coach, not counting George Halas. And then they did it for John Fox, of all people. That was the guy we were going to be the retreads for. Hire a retread. God, what a terrible. He was fired from Denver to make way for Gary Kubiak. Like, if we would have hired, like, Mike Shanahan, that wouldn't have made sense. John Fox, what is happening with our lives? So I think the coaching staff, and, you know, Eric Lambert had a story today on the Sports Mockery where he was talking, I know, stop it. I like him. Stop it. Stop. Don't say it. I like him. He was saying that insiders believe that this Eberflus coaching staff could be on the way. You think? It would defy logic. Like, you're running the risk right now. You're losing fans right now by not making a move. By not making a move to elevate the special teams coach or something like that. I understand that the Bears don't want to get themselves into a Rich Bisaccia type of situation where you elevate an assistant coach who does too well, and then you're like, what are we going to do? Because we really had our hopes set on Josh McDaniels. I don't know. So I don't know if they're trying to avoid that. And I don't know how much bloodlust we need for coaches getting fired. We've already fired a defensive coordinator. We've fired some other people. We've fired plenty of coaches during this season. I don't know that we necessarily need a couple of more, but I think it stands to reason barring an absolute miracle, Matt Eberflus should not be the coach of the Bears going into the 2024 season. I like him. I think he's a delightful person. He seems like the kind of guy that I could hang out and have a Diet Pepsi with at the Sugar Shack in Huntington Beach. I do not want him coaching my NFL football franchise. It just, I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing that we're seeing. Like, this was a very good game. Like, it really was. It was impressive. You go out there. You're beating the Lions. You're really taking it to them. Great game plan. But at some point, this is a wins and loss business. And if you cannot get it done, I mean, it's happened far too often. I mean, you think about where we're at right now. We're 3-8. What week are we going? We're 3-8. At the bare minimum, pun intended, should be 5-6. The Denver game should have been a W. This Lions game should have been a W. Now, I know there's people like, we could have beat the Vikings. We could have beat the Saints. Fine. Whatever. I'm not getting into that. But I'm talking about surefire, the analytics, and the probability said that we were going to win this game. 5-6 at the very worst. Maybe I'll give you 6-5. I don't know. Here's my thing. You're not winning those games. You're not doing anything. There's nothing that has shown me that you should be given another opportunity to go out. I don't care how much money it's costing. I don't think that we're at a point anymore. The NFL makes too much money. You cannot go the cheap way out on this. You just can't. You can't take the cheap way. We already have the most cap space and all this stuff. We're saving money. Like, no. We need to go out there. I know you want to build a new stadium in Arlington Heights. No. You got to be better about this. It's unfortunate. I really thought it was going to work. It's not working. He's got to go. Then it comes down to Justin Fields, who we were talking about a moment ago. I like Justin Fields. I think he's going to be good. You cannot sit here and say that he's not a good quarterback. He just is. He's a good quarterback. He's shown that he can play on an NFL level. He absolutely can play. Don't be a hater. Now, if your argument is the next coach should be able to start the clock with a new quarterback, be it Caleb Williams or Drake May or whomever it is, that's a fair statement. That really is. And that is a good one. That is your only thing. That is your only argument. I will say, and there's something to it. That's what the Jets did with Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson. How has that worked out? I'm just saying. Urban Meyer got an opportunity to work with Trevor Lawrence. How did it work? It's not always as perfect as you think it's going to be. I really do believe. And this is going to be, I know, I might change my mind 3 weeks from now. But when you look at the way Justin Fields is playing, you're like, okay, there's ability there. He's a good NFL quarterback. I think this can happen. If you think about what the top pick in the draft would potentially return in draft capital, in players, in so many different things. Like if you have a team's, and I don't even know who the team would be. Let's say whoever it is, the Falcons. What if the Falcons were like, okay, we'll trade you, you know, it's going to be more than what Carolina gave us. Like, you have to understand that. Caleb Williams is a better prospect than Bryce Young. And Bryce Young brought in an S-load, a ton of draft capital, and DJ Moore. Like, if you're the Falcons and you're like, okay, here's 3 first-round picks and Drake London. Probably not Bijan Robinson, but and Drake London. Or maybe Kyle Pitts or somebody like that. In addition to all these draft picks you're going to get. How do you pass that up? How do you pass? And here's the thing, too. Like, we have so many picks. Because then you'll be in another situation the following year heading into 2025. In 2025, you could have 2 potential first-round picks. maybe more, continuing considering how Ryan Poles is probably going to wheel and deal, maybe more. You're going to have at least two first-round picks in 2025 if things break correctly and you get multiple picks. Who knows how many other picks we're going to get? You got to make that move. There's going to be – let me tell you something. There's going to be quarterbacks available in 2025. I don't know who it's going to be. I haven't looked that far ahead. There will be a good quarterback available in 2025. I can almost guarantee it. There will be guys like, oh, this is the consensus first pick in the back. And we, again, will have the draft capital to go get that player if you need him. But I think a lot of people will look and say, look, we need some more players. Not a ton. I don't think the level is as bad as a lot of people will make it out to be. There is a lot of good players on this Bears team. We've started to see some of these younger guys really starting to step forward. We saw Gervin Dexter playing really well. Tyreek Stevenson gets his first pick of his NFL career. Ryan Poles has already shown that he can start to make some magic with some of these picks. And if the Bears are in a situation to where they trade away the number one overall pick, and they trade away the number one overall pick, and they get a bunch in return, and then you still have a top five pick that'll let you get Marvin Harrison Jr. or somebody like that, like, oh my God, that improves the team so much. You roll back with Justin Fields, the coordinator, that you're the coaching staff that you're bringing in next year. You come in and you find a coach that's going to be like, oh, I see a lot of what I can do with Justin Fields, be it Jim Harbaugh, Ben Johnson, whomever it could be. Eric Bieniemy, one of those guys. Like, look, I'm like, okay, yeah, we can figure out. I can work with this. I think you have too much. I think you have to trade that pick. I think you're getting too much in return. And by the way, I know somebody's going to ask. They're like, why don't you draft a quarterback to put? No, that is so counterproductive. If you're going to do that, no. If Justin Fields is on the roster, you don't bring in another rookie. No, you don't do that. That is not a great idea. That competition, because at that point, just get rid of Justin Fields and trade him. Then trade Justin Fields. But the amount of draft capital you will get in return for the first overall, second overall pick in the draft compared to what you're going to get for Justin Fields, that's mind-blowing. You stick with Justin Fields. I mean, there's nothing about – there's no guarantee that Caleb Williams is going to go out there and be the quarterback that everybody thinks that he's going to be. There's no guarantee of that. I mean, look at it. Look over the last number of years of, like, Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is the perfect example. Trevor Lawrence is a good NFL quarterback. He definitely can play on the NFL level. The Jags will probably win the AFC South. He's good. He's a good player. But at the same time, I think Justin Fields can play just as well. And if you bring in a coach that's pretty competent, who can run an offense, who can work with Justin Fields, work with an improving offensive line, in addition to all of the things that would be brought in return.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
For dealing the number one overall pick or the number two overall pick, depending on what Carolina does. You know, Carolina, they're going to be in a dogfight this week. We need our friends over at the Tennessee Titans to come through for us. We need the Titans. I can't believe I'm saying this. Because now I'm as active looking at the Panthers schedule as I am the Bears. I'm like, who do they got? A Titan. We need the Titans. That's a winnable game for Carolina. I don't like that. I don't like that. And if Tennessee ends up, what if Tennessee ended up with the first overall pick in the draft? Like, you're going to say, like, are they going to, I mean, it would be the third consecutive year that they've drafted a quarterback. They might not be able to pass that up either. But I really do believe that we have, I think we got to roll. I want to roll with Justin Fields. I think that's my final answer until week 14 when I change my mind. No, I think you got to roll with Justin Fields. I think you got to keep, trade at least one of the picks and then work back. It just doesn't make sense to do anything else. It does make sense. I will grant you. There is something to be said. But I think that it's pretty clear that Matt Eberflus has to be gone. Although I do want to point out a couple of things. I do love that Braxton Jones got sent to the bench because he was going after one of the Lions. I swear to God, these guys, and it's not just Justin Fields. I know it's sour grapes because we like to talk about this with Justin Fields. Like, they will never call a late hit on Justin Fields. Like, Aiden Hutchinson was dropping elbows like he was MJF himself. Just working Justin Fields out of nothing. Like, you're never caught. Like, I swear to goodness, you look at Patrick Mahomes the wrong way. Penalty. Here comes the laundry. But Justin Fields, Josh Dobbs, Kyler Murray, like a lot of these guys, like no benefit of the doubt. None. Absolutely none. Just, nope, do whatever you want. Dive on it. And I swear to goodness, that little 34, the little Fabio guy for the Lions, that dude is such a Fonzie player. Like he jumps on so many piles and celebrates like he did something. Like he's the Grover Dill of the Lions. Like he's just the sidekick who runs his mouth. Oh, he was annoying me. But congratulations to the Lions. Good win for you guys. Terrible win. Terrible loss for us. All right, Sammy, do we have any questions? I don't know. We're going to keep this short because I know a lot of people, they're out and about. Okay. This is a good question. Do you believe that Dan Quinn is a good candidate to replace Eberflus? You know, there are people who will point out that you don't necessarily want a defensive-minded football coach to come in and run this team based on what happened with Matt Eberflus. But the counter to that is that Dan Quinn has taken a team to the Super Bowl. Dan Quinn has been the head coach for the Falcons when they had one of their best offensive seasons. And a lot of that had to do with Kyle Shanahan. I really do believe that it depends on who the coordinator. If Dan Quinn comes in for an interview, and to answer your question, the quick answer, yes. I think he is. I know it would be a tough sell for people who would be like, why are they bringing in a defensive-minded guy when they got to get Justin Fields? Like, we get it. We understand. And I would say you need an experienced offensive coordinator, but that's not necessarily the case because Bobby Slowick has done a great job with everything that is going on with the Houston Texans. So I don't think you should cut yourself off from looking at somebody like Dan Quinn because he has proven to be a pretty good coach. Like he's got the history. Like we were hoping that Matt Eberflus was going to be a Dan Quinn type, and it hasn't worked out that way. Dan Quinn knows what it's like. He's called a timeout on the NFL before. He knows what it's like to be on the sidelines, to be the man in charge. I would have to see a staff. It would have to be a pretty compelling PowerPoint for me to look at Dan Quinn and be like, you know what? This starts to make a lot of sense. I would need to know names of the offensive coordinators. I would want to know what kind of systems they want to run. Do you want to keep Justin Fields? Do you want to draft a quarterback? I don't know. I think it's going to be a very interesting situation for these guys coming into the building. You know, when you sit down with Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, you got to kind of like sit there and, you know, you're taking a risk. You know, like, God, how do they feel? How do they feel about Justin Fields? Like, what is their read on Justin Fields? You know what? Like, because Ryan Poles could be ready to move off. And I'm not saying that he is. And I'm not saying this is the correct take. But if Ryan Poles is already sold on moving on from the quarterback, and you come into your interview like, I love Justin Fields and I want to coach him, and be like, nah, you know. Or if you come in and Ryan Poles is committed, to flipping that pick. And you're like, get rid of this guy, or, you know, whatever I'm saying. Like, it's a big risk. So I would want to know, and I would be like, listen, Dan, what's your plan? What is your plan coming in here? What do you want to do? Which way, what direction do you want to go with this? And how did you blow a Super Bowl with a 28-3 lead? That would be one. Like, hey, we know a thing or two about blowing leads here in Chicago now. So I would want to know that. So I think that he's a definitely a viable candidate. But you'll hear a lot of offensive names coming up. I don't know if Ben Johnson is going to be a guy that really, I mean, I don't know. I think we'd have a better chance of Eric Bieniemy, to be truthful with you. But anyways, how about another question, Sammy? Hey, Foster, do you think there's any way Flus and company stays with the Bears? I mean, there is a way, and it's not a good way, and it's not what you want. You know, number one, I talked about it a moment ago. If they win six consecutive games, which would include a win over the Lions, you would beat the Vikings, you would beat the Lions, finish strong. Like, if this game, like, if the Bears played how they did on Sunday, the rest of the season, and they were, because they were kind of dominating. If they were they were dominating the Lions. If they started closing out teams, like really suffocating them, not like, you know, when a team's like getting by on smoke and mirrors, like when you watch the Steelers, you know that team sucks, and they're like, oh, they're winning games though. It's like one of those things. I don't think that a six-game winning streak with a bunch of like, I can't believe we survived that one. Way to go. I don't think that'd do it. But let's say the Bears had closed out like a convincing win over the Lions, like convince it, shut the door. It was a 2-touchdown win. The Lions looked pathetic as they did for the first 56 minutes. If they did that to a lot of teams, then you would have some momentum. Then you would have a case of like, okay, maybe. Is that going to happen? I don't know. Never say never. That is one way. The other way is Ryan Poles trying to go out there and be like, look, this has been a rebuild. We've seen some positive things. Like, there's no way of selling it. Like, if they end up with five wins, six wins, and they try to sell us, like, but trust the process, I'm out. I think you'd lose a lot of people, including the locker room. I mean, again, I don't know how the team feels. And I think that we'll find out on Monday night. If that team goes into Minnesota on Monday night and plays another nearly impeccable game, but actually closes it, okay, that's a good sign for the coaching staff. Where it stands right now, I find it very hard. It's an uphill battle. Never say never. Never say never, especially with the Chicago Bears. I don't think it's a great chance. I don't think it's a really good chance. I think there's a lot of, they got to do a lot of things. Eberflus really has his work cut out for him because there's not a lot going on. There's not like a lot of stretch of football where you're like, yeah, this is where, I mean, they were playing well last year, not closing out games, but at some point you got to start closing it out. Like, 1 through 32, the teams aren't that different. Some teams have excellent quarterbacks and things like that. The Bears, like, just based on probability, should be winning more games, and it's alarming that they haven't. So I don't know, Foster. How about another one, Sammy? If you got one, I don't know. I should have asked you before you queued it up. If for some reason they trade Fields, who do you want them to pick in the draft to replace him? Thanks, Cal. This is a very interesting one. I would still believe. I know, like, there's a lot of, I forget who did it. This might have been Brendan Shagrew who put this out there. Somebody else put this out there where they were talking about, like, you know, Caleb Williams, a lot of the things that Caleb Williams does wrong. Like, if you watch USC games, like, there's a lot of Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. Like, a lot of things that you wish Justin was better at, Caleb Williams needs to improve on too. They've got some things of, like, get rid of the ball, like, do it, like, trust your read, do this stuff. And so, you know, and by the way, watching the all 22, there were times where Justin, like, there was, it wasn't there. And I do appreciate that Justin won't throw a hero ball, but I just wish he was better about throwing the ball away. But anyways, we can talk about that later. So Caleb Williams does a lot of that. So you would have to, you would be going through a situation of trying to explain to people, you know, hey, I know, like, we're kind of like, you know, we're drafting the same guy. There's something to be said about, like, you're drafting the same guy, but we're getting 5 years of him. Like, he's starting on his rookie deal, which, again, the Bears are not up against the salary cap, and they're not going to be up against the salary cap for quite some time. So I don't know if that's the most compelling argument, but, you know, you could sell that. Drake May plays at North Carolina. And everybody, they just will do it. He's not the same player as Mitch Trubisky. He's a much better college player than Mitch Trubisky could ever hope to be. Like, he is so vastly different from Mitch Trubisky. It's not even the same stratosphere. It is the difference. It's not like Star Wars and Star Trek. It's like Star Wars and Terms of Endearment, whatever. I'm sorry. I tried to think of an old-timey movie from that time period. From Here to Eternity, whatever, it doesn't matter. It is so stupid to be like, you can't draft another North Carolina quarterback, but then people will still make those comparisons and will still say those kind of things, and it'll be inevitable. And we'd have to sit there and listen to that. But at the same time, the quarterback that I like, who I think is the best one to go with, is Caleb Williams. And I think, listen, I know that Caleb Williams has not been playing well. The USC season has not played as well as many had hoped, had many had thought. But I was talking to Daniel Jeremiah about this when I crossed paths with him. I'm like, what do you, I go, what? I was like, you know, we're crossing, we're sitting there. Usually when I see Daniel Jeremiah, we talk about the San Diego Padres and the Angels and that kind of stuff. We don't usually, I have one of the brightest minds in football at my disposal. We talk baseball more than anything because that's just what we do. Listen, a lot of people ask him about football all the time. I know he loves baseball, and I know he loves to talk about it. So I want to give him a little bit of a break. But I was talking to Daniel Jeremiah, and I did finally just one time, like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, what is happening with Caleb Williams? What is it? And the most interesting thing that he said, and be sure to check out his podcast, Move the Sticks, on the NFL network of podcasts. He goes, Caleb Williams right now reminds me a lot of what Patrick Mahomes went through during his final season at Texas Tech, where, and a lot of the things that people used against Patrick Mahomes will be the very similar things as what they use against Caleb Williams. They'll look at this season, they'll look at a lot of the mistakes and not playing as well and all this stuff. But that USC roster, especially the offensive line, isn't great, isn't as good as you would think it would be. I mean, this really isn't a great USC team. Now, a lot of people thought they were going to be great because last season, Caleb Williams was able to overcome a lot of the talent deficiencies on that program. Caleb Williams made them look better than they were. This year, he's not able to do that. So some evaluators might hold that against him. But for the most part, you have to trust what you saw Caleb Williams do 2 years ago, and even the good things that you see now. Caleb Williams is going to be the better quarterback. I know a lot of the armchair GMs out there are watching these games and go like, I'm kind of worried. Now, don't be concerned about this. It could very well be another situation similar to what happened to Patrick Mahomes. And I know that Drake May has played very well, but at the same time, I don't know. Not to use a Mitch Trubisky thing, but it's like you're still playing like a North Carolina guy is compared to a big-time elite program. I think there's something to be said for that. So for me, I still think that Caleb Williams is going to be the guy. And it's an interesting debate. And the NFL people who study this closer than I do will have a more definitive answer. But I think when we get down to it, Caleb Williams is going to end up being the number one overall pick. And maybe that's what the Bears decide to do. And again, the argument for that is your new coach starts and is on the same clock with his new quarterback. Because you could end up in a situation similar to what's going on with the Giants right now. Like, what if you bring in, like, a sprint, you bring in Jim Harbaugh and Justin Fields plays very well. And you're like, great, we're going to give him one more year for $40 million. And then he goes out and does what Daniel Jones did this year. And you're like, great. Now you're into Daboll's third season. And they're going to be resetting the clock with a quarterback this year. And again, when you're looking for teams who could be moving up in the draft to take a quarterback, the Giants are going to be one of those teams. The only problem with the Giants is that there's not a wide receiver that you can poach. Like, I don't know who the guy, like, I would want to be like last when they dealt with the Panthers, they got a first this year, a first in 2024, and instead of a first in 2025, they got DJ Moore. I would say if the prospect had been Caleb Williams, you would have gotten a first last year, a first in 2024, a first in 2025, and DJ Moore. But I think because Bryce Young wasn't the prospect that Caleb Williams is going to be, even Drake May, it could end up, yeah. You couldn't quite swing that deal. So it was a little bit different. But for me, I really do believe that it's going to be Caleb Williams. And I think that once we start going through and really breaking down the tape and guys like Daniel Jeremiah go out there and explain their case fully, we'll all be good being like, okay, Caleb Williams is the guy. But again, that it depends on what the Bears want to do. And again, the only logical argument is having the new coach and having the quarterback on the same clock. I would rather have the talent. And I know, again, you could easily run into a situation like they ran into the Giants are dealing with right now, or you could be like what the Harbaugh did. I mean, when Harbaugh went to San Francisco, Alex Smith was on his third coach. Was it a second coach? Like Singletary was fired. So Alex Smith had been gone through the ringer. And then Alex Smith ended up being a pretty good NFL quarterback. Kind of an underrated quarterback, if you ask me. Now, obviously, he got usurped by Patrick Mahomes, but I think Patrick Mahomes would usurp just about every quarterback in the NFL over the last 15 years. So no shame in that one. So for me, I don't know. I lean Justin Fields at this point. That's my final answer until I change my mind. But in any event, I know we didn't even talk about the Vikings. I did see that Justin Jefferson, by the way, this is another thing. I'm going to say this. I'm going to close on this. Justin Jefferson tweeted out, he doesn't care about our fantasy teams. He's not going to play this weekend. Good. Yeah. Take your time. Take your time, buddy. No reason to come back this week. And you got a bye week. So why not do that? Don't play against the Bears. You're fine. Take some time off. Take all the time you need. It's great that we're not going to see you. Gives us a competitive advantage. And for anybody who's out there, like, well, I just want us to lose games now. No, don't. No. We have Carolina's pick. Root for Carolina to lose. That's fine. We should win. I know. I can't even believe. Like, it's week. We're heading into week 12. And again, people are like, well, you lost the line. You look good. You're like, no, I want to look good and win. We have the Panthers pick. We do have an advantage of like having somebody else's pick. We're probably going to end up with two top 10 picks. I want to win games now. I want to feel good on a Sunday. You know, like look at the Giants this week. They beat the Commanders. Look how good they felt. Did they cost them some draft capital? Of course. Who cares? You beat the Commanders. Have some fun. This is why we're fans of football. Not because we're thinking about draft picks and all that stuff. We want to go out there and enjoy wins. We want to come back. Look how happy Tyler Scott is. After a win, it's so much fun. It's an enjoyable thing to do. By the way, want to remind everybody, if you're looking to get into the action over the Thanksgiving weekend, the easiest way to play fantasy sports is with Underdog Fantasy. Oh, it's so simple to get started. Go to underdogfantasy.com or better yet, download the Underdog Fantasy app. First-time users using the promo code SICK will get their initial deposit up to $100 matched by Underdog. They have these awesome pick'em contests. You're sitting there. Listen, if you're on the fence, if you've never played fantasy football, you're like, I really want to give this a shot. What better time than Thanksgiving to go out there, go to underdogfantasy.com, download that app, use our promo code, make a deposit, get it matched by Underdog, and then do some pick'ems. Just do some pick'ems. And we got Jahmyr Gibbs playing tomorrow. We got Tony Pollard. We have Christian McCaffrey. By the way, in my fantasy team, I got this guillotine league. And I know I've talked to people about guillotine leagues before. So I got all of my running backs and my flex guys are going tomorrow. And it's Gibbs, McCaffrey, and Tony Pollard. I couldn't think of a better trio to go. I feel like I should bench Pollard for Mixon, but I don't like the quarterback situation with Tim. Who knows? Maybe Tim Boyle goes out there and kills it. But the Steelers fired Matt Canada. I feel like they're going to play some inspired football. I think it's going to be a renewed sense of vigor for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I want to thank everybody who joined us here. You know what? As we sit here and we talk about Thanksgiving and you think about things that you're thankful for, number one, our Canadian producers are like, why do you have Thanksgiving so late? Which is absolutely the case. Why is it so late? It's like Bill Burr dropping into the Comedy Store. We're like, hey, we're gonna wedge you in between two killer comics. Like, Halloween's an amazing time of year, as is Christmas. Thanksgiving should be in October, where the Canadians do it, because it makes more sense. Because now everybody's arguing whether Thanksgiving gets short-sighted or not. If you just put this in October, let it lead off the season instead of wedged into the middle when people can't fully appreciate it. But in any event, I just wanted to say I'm thankful to everybody who has followed along with this podcast, that is hung with us, who follows us on social media and all that stuff. You know, we thought about this when we started this 2 years ago. Like, oh, this is going to be a great time to be in the Bears podcast business. The team's going to start coming along. And we thought even last year, you know, we get that number one overall pick. We get DJ Moore. I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to continue to grow. And then, you know, another terrible season. But listen, the fact we're the true diehards of everybody who is here. So I'm very thankful for each and every one of you. Even you, the Lions fans and Vikings fans who love to come in here and run your mouths. You deserve it. You know what? You've been playing great. Especially our friend Don, the Lions fan. Like, you've earned it. Like, whatever. You have not had a great sports experience during your lifetime. So live it up right now. You've earned it. Dan Campbell's doing a great job. I'm envious. I hope that we can get there at some point. But I want to thank everybody who is joining us tonight. If you're going out and hanging out with your friends and doing what, please be safe. Please take a ride share service. And that goes for the entirety of the weekend. If you need money, let me know. No, please be safe this weekend and enjoy the football on Thanksgiving. We'll see you on the other side of Thanksgiving with an actual preview of that Vikings game. So for Sam and Anello, Carmen, and all the guests who've joined us, thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving. Bear down. And Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy.